America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Back live all over D.C. on 106.7 The Fan and in Richmond on AM 910 and FM 105.1. You can listen to us wherever you are coast to coast via the Odyssey app. You can watch us wherever you are online on our 106.7 The Fan YouTube page. You're locked into Grant and Danny, reminding you that for any of your needs as it pertains to a will, last will and testament, revocable trust, anything you and your family needs, the important grown-up documents, Condori and Murat are your guys because they're our guys. We're traveling with them to the Link to watch the Eagles and the Commanders next Thursday. We went to Cincinnati with these guys. They're a great, great friend to this program, and they are the exclusive sponsors of our show. Go schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today. Visit kmlawyers.com. Tell them that we sent you. They'll give you a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Right now on our guest hotline is former four-time Pro Bowler Ken Harvey, who back in 1996, when the then Redskins were last 7-2, that's right, that was the last time they were 7-2, was almost 30 years ago. Ken Harvey was on his way to a 9-sack season. Ken, thank you so much for the time. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you guys for having me on. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. We've been thinking a lot about that 1996 team this week. What with that having been the last time Washington was 7-2, when you think back about those first nine games and that 7-2 record, what comes to mind?
You know, having fun. We were a team that had a lot of characters, a lot of good personalities, and we were having fun.
As that group sort of came together, I mean, this was sort of in the start of that modern era of free agency, Ken, that we're now so used to with some of the roster turnover and the like. When did it start to feel that way, right? I mean, you know some of your teammates from years past, but there's always new guys. When did you start to feel, hey, you know what, this might be a little bit different going back to that year in 96?
Well, you know, it was new guys, but everybody was on the same page. Like, they wanted to win, and they all had the personality that they wanted to contribute to being part of a winning team. And so I think that was the key. Nobody was there just trying to get a paycheck. It was more about I wanted to contribute to the history and to be a part of a winning team.
One of the other similarities, I think, Ken, about this team and that team is that both teams lost week one and then got hot. You guys lost to the Eagles in a close game, and then you ripped off seven consecutive wins. I mean, was there a point where you realized, like, wow, we could be really good? We could actually string together a winning streak that hasn't been that common around here in a little while? Or did it just kind of naturally happen?
You know, I think it naturally happened. I think probably the downside when we started losing was that we started thinking about it, thinking about the fact that we were winning. You know, sometimes you can get in your own way and start playing to not lose as opposed to playing to have fun and just win. And I think if you look at this team, it looks like everyone's having fun. Everyone's winning. It's not only the players, but it's the ownership and the management and everything they're doing as well. Even getting new players on the team that they feel like contribute to the team. And the players look at it and say, they feel like they can contribute to the team winning. So So it's a positive message. And I think that was the biggest thing, and maybe our downfall was that we stopped playing to have fun and to have a victory. We stopped playing more conservative, like we were scared to lose.
Ken Harvey with us here on G&D. How do they avoid those pitfalls that you were talking about there, Ken?
Well, you know what? I've watched a little film and see half of it's just the coaching. I mean, ultimately, it was the coaching. I think for on our side, we got a little tight in the coaching, and so we started trying to create stuff that we didn't have to create to be better, and think that we had to do more than we had to do instead of going out there and just having some fun. I think the players need to just go out and say, you know what, we're going to have a good time, although there's some areas that we need to step up in, and I think the coaches will play a key role in doing that. And then there's also some guys will step up because they want to be, you know, they know that they're part of something great right now. I think Jaden Daniels is you know, going to obviously be a key because he's such a great athlete and such a great performer with the team. I think with that, it's just, you know, it's all the little things that you don't see. The O-line is going to have to continue to block for them, and the receivers are going to have to continue to make the big plays. You're going to have to probably try to play as mistake-free when you're starting to play some of these tougher teams. You're going to have to play as mistake-free as possible, and then just realize, you know, just go out and have a good time.
Ken Harvey is with us on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. I was looking up on PFR today, just kind of that stretch run when you guys went 2-5 and finished 9-7. I didn't realize two losses in overtime. In fact, one of them was the first game I ever went to, which was at RFK Stadium when I believe Boomer Esiason threw for like 500 yards in an overtime win against Washington in November that year.
Yeah, don't mention that.
That. You know, that was the first game I ever been to in my life. It was the only time I ever went to RFK Stadium. And after that, I don't think I was at a game until 1999. And then haven't missed a home game since. But two overtime losses, I mean, if any of those other games, and there were so many close losses, go differently, you guys make the playoffs. It just, to me, there's a message there to, you know, this group, which is to say the margins, even when you have this record, even when you've gotten off to this start, are so small. You got to take advantage of every opportunity.
Yeah, that's just it. You take advantage of every opportunity. It's those little things, you know. Once something happens where if you lose a game, you can't start pointing the finger at each other. You can't start blaming, saying, well, offense is playing well and defense needs to step up. It has to be collectively. The coaches have to show that. I think all that's a part of winning. And so with this team, from what I've seen, is that they believe in themselves. And belief is half the battle, right? You can be down and losing, and a good team's going to find a way to win. And I think there's enough belief with this team that, you know, we're going to find a way to win. And they're doing that. They're showing that. Even if it's only kicking field goals, they're figuring out how can we win this game, or Hail Mary pass, you know. Whatever it takes to win, they're making it happen. And it's starting to just keep going on.
Ken Harvey with us here on Grant and Danny. And Ken, you kind of mentioned, you got alluded to this, but and Grant was talking about it as well, so many close losses. There's a one-point loss, a few one-score games, some overtime losses in there. And, you know, I don't want to say it snowballed, but maybe it sort of did to some degree. You guys weren't getting the breaks. Maybe you were in the first half of the season. What can coaches do, as you kind of alluded to sort of head that off at the pass, right? To say, hey, we've been fortunate here. We've had incredible, let's talk about this group now. They've had incredible turnover luck and good fortune. In fact, an unprecedented amount of that. Something bad may happen. Let's not let us beat us. How can coaches kind of counteract the inevitable swing into the pendulum?
So I mentioned, and hopefully I'm not overkilling it, but it's just going out and having fun. Like, you know, if you look at a team when they start doing the prevent defense, usually it's not successful, you know, but they'll go out and try to do it because they're scared of losing what they have. You got to go out and just say, let's have some fun. I think the coaches, and from what I've seen in the locker room, you know, they have a fun. They like to enjoy each other. There's a difference between the personalities. With Norv Turner, he was kind of more, it was a lot less emotional as you know, Quinn is. And so I think it's going to be just go out, have a good time, pat each other on the back. You know, if a mistake happens, if you get a penalty, it's okay. Just figure out how not to do it again. And that's the big thing. You can't just really harp on the mistakes and be afraid of losing your great lead. You know, right now, 7-2, you just got to go out and say, okay, if we lose the next game, it's okay. We're going to go out and figure out how to win the next one after that.
28 years ago, the last time Washington was 7-2.
Yeah.
Ken Harvey was one of the best players on that team, talking about then Redskins. Ken, I want to get your thoughts on this year's group. In passing here, you've mentioned Jaden and some of the things you've seen. First, I'm curious, have you had any interactions with the new ownership? I know sometimes you're still around in the community. And what do you make of just what is a brand new day here with Dan Snyder out and Josh Harris and his group in?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I've met some of the owners, not Josh as much, some of the other owners I've met, and from top to bottom, all of them believe in the history, the tradition. They believe in being good at what they're good at, but then getting out the way and letting those who are better at that, whatever they're trying to do that. And so I think you can see it here is that, you know, you can start pointing off examples, and people will later down the road, they'll look at it and say, well, you know what, they let the general manager be the general manager. You know what, instead of them flying back on a away game, and they knew they had a game in Arizona, they had the team stay out there. It took a little extra money, but they're willing to pay it because they wanted the team to be well rested. The little things that they're doing to show that the players, that they really care about the team and that they want this team to win, is huge. And then they're not separating the masses. There's no haves and no have-nots. Everybody's an equal player. They just want the players to contribute to the team. They kind of got rid of everybody who maybe had beliefs like the old team and said, you know, you're a new team. Everybody's going to compete, and everybody's going to have an equal chance to win. But if you're not going to do these things and you don't want to compete, we don't need you on the team. And they set that tone early on, is that if you're not going to be here and you're not going to work hard or buy into what we're selling, then we don't need you. We'll get somebody else.
Ken Harvey with us here on G&D. And Ken, you were such a good player, such a dynamic pass rusher, and so damn fast. I'm just wondering, as you watch these games, do you ever do that thing where you point at somebody who's doing something on the field and go, I used to do that? Like, is there anybody that reminds you of you right now on this current roster?
You know what, I pointed somebody and said, not that I used to do that, but I'll point at an offensive lineman and say, okay, you know what? This is why this guy could get beat. You know, if this was me on the other side, this is why that person could get beat. And I look at the speed or the hand movements or the second and third pass rush. And then you look at the whole team collectively, you know, because a lot of times it's not just the one player. I became a good pass rusher because we had good coverage. And because we had good coverage, and then we had good defensive players around me where they had to maybe get double team or triple team, then that allowed something open for me. So I think it's collectively, and I think that's what you're starting to see with this team, is collectively they're doing it. And defensively, each week you're starting to see them step up a little bit more in everything that they're doing.
Ken, there were obviously mobile quarterbacks and even some running quarterbacks that were rare. But in your day, you know, those guys existed too. But what do you make of Jaden Daniels as a rookie to have come in and played the way that he has and helped change the culture to the extent that he has already?
You know, it's amazing, one. But I think it won't be as amazing in future years. I think younger players are coming out expecting to be starters. Before it was like, you know, the mindset was, you got to wait 2 or 3 years to get your chance to start and all that stuff. So now younger players are expecting to start. Technology is helping out a lot. I know, you know, they're using technology to help get visualized and to help with the training. So I know all that's a part of it. And then it's great to see a young quarterback that's not so full of himself, confident, you know, to a point of I'm good at what I'm good at, but is also like, you know what, I'm just trying to get out here and have some fun and win this game. And I think the players feed on that. And so it's exciting. And then they're doing a good job with just balancing everything else. You got a good running game to go along with the passing game. Quarterbacks that can run now, you know, it's hard to get them down, but now you adjust with getting linebackers that are fast and mobile and can chase quarterbacks down.
Ken, you played with a rookie QB here in town, and listen, I'm not trying to throw dirt on anybody, but it didn't go great, obviously, thinking back to 94 when you came here. What did you guys try to do to support that rookie quarterback? And you know, how patient can you afford to be for a group of veterans like yourself that were already really good and established in the league? How hard was that to sort of string him along or bring him along, knowing that thinking, hey, this one day will bear fruit, even if it's not right now in the short term?
Well, that was kind of the hard thing, was that it was evident in practice at times that we weren't all on the same page. Defense wasn't on the same page, offense. We had some really hard practices, and we tried to make sure that we gave them a look. And so I think, it's to get somebody going, it's about saying, I'm going to practice as hard as a game, so you'll have game experience in practice. Whether that's covering somebody, that's getting to the quarterback, him knowing what he's supposed to do. It goes back to the whole beginning is the draft. And are you drafting a quarterback that fits what the team need? And I think back then it was trying to get players, but not necessarily, I don't know if we got all the right players to go. I was looking at the film, and we had some beasts of players. Things were going well. But at moments, there were times where we just could have, maybe did it, simplified it, or used a different scheme at times.
Ken Harvey on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. I saw a tweet I want to get your reaction to from Jeremy Reeves, the All-Pro special teamer who's been here the last several years. He tweeted after the game, "No lie, ending these games, dapping up and seeing how happy Santana, London Fletcher, Brian Mitchell are, is dope." He said, "These OGs are proud of us." Now, obviously, you played with, I think, B. Mitch of that group, but there's a lot of former players now that are around working on post-game, pre-game shows that they have just kind of in the building. And he was noticing that some of the former players are really taking pride and hopeful with kind of the way things are trending. Do you feel any of that pride at this point with how things are going?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of cool. It's like you get a glimpse of the way it used to be, and I came in after they had won the Super Bowls. But the way it used to be, people wearing the shirts around, not embarrassed to wear the shirt. They're proud of it. Their smiles on their faces. It's a great feeling. And then to have the younger players show the respect that they acknowledge the history, they're not embarrassed of the history. They acknowledge it and want to do well for the history. It's not something that's a sales pitch or a marketing pitch. It's a feeling that the guys have. It's like they've watched the film and said, we need to play up to that level. So I think that's been the culture, and that's what everybody's kind of really pushed, is that you're not the team of the past. You're setting your own destiny, but there's nothing wrong with respecting the past as well.
Ken, this is really cool to catch up with you, man. Really appreciate it, and enjoy the rest of the season.
Hey, appreciate you guys, and thanks for having me on the show.
Ken Harvey is a good egg, has been in this market, in this town, for a long, long time. And as I said, that was one of the first players I ever interviewed, believe it or not, Danny. 1999, training camp, Frostburg. I was 10 years old, and I froze up when I started to talk to him. I don't think I've ever done that since, but I walked up to him. I asked him a question. I didn't have a next question prepared. And he was just so nice. You could hear how soft-spoken he is. He put his hand on my shoulder and was like, "Yeah, all right, what else you got for me?"
Mr. Harvey, I wanted to ask you about football.
He was great.
That's awesome, dude.
I love hearing the excitement from some of the former players, right?
It's so cool.
You've seen some of the videos, too, of B. Mitch is in the tunnel because he does the post-game now, and so he's with the team, and he's kind of high-fiving guys as they're coming off the field rocking the gear. And you've seen – I'm trying to think of who – Tana is in some of these videos where the players are coming off and they're dapping dudes up. There is definitely a pride and a respect that is being – shown by the OGs, if we want to call it that, that wasn't before, for the reason that they're doing things the right way now.
Yeah, I played baseball at GW forever ago, right? If they win the conference and go to the regional, I had nothing to do with it. I played there two decades ago. I'm still going to smile. It's still neat. You know what I mean? If they're on, ESPN 7 getting their butts handed to them by, Florida State, I'm going to watch with great pride. That sort of stuff is cool. You were there. You did it. And so secondhand, because you know what you put into it. Those guys that were here during some of the darkest times imaginable, getting joy out of it. A, I get it. B, I'm really legitimately happy for them.
What message do we think Adam Peters sent with the trade yesterday? And we'll hear from Peters again in just a moment. He spoke today. There are a couple of clips from his presser that I think are worth playing that we have not yet that I want to react to. We can get into those at the top of the hour coming up at 6. You'll hear from Dan Quinn what he had to say today about adding Marshawn Lattimore. We'll also get you ready for Caps hockey. They played tonight right here on The Fan. We've still got a Caps power play coming your way on Grant and Danny.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
All over D.C. on 106.7 The Fan. We're in Richmond until 6, AM 910, FM 105.1. And, of course, streaming coast-to-coast on the Odyssey app or via video on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page. We are Grant and Danny. Thank you for making the show part of your day. Danny, what message did Washington send with their trade yesterday?
You boys have earned it. You guys have done better than anybody could have expected. You've worked so hard. You followed every instruction. You have done everything that could be reasonably asked of you to this point as players, as leaders, as men, as part of this organization to revitalize and buy in and be part of this culture. You have earned the right to be able to go for it right now. You've earned it. You have done enough for me to say, I owe it to you. It would be irresponsible for me to have not lifted a finger at the deadline and just sort of said, and we like our group. We do like our group, by the way. But you guys deserve the shot to do something even more special. You've already done something pretty special here. No trophies have ever been given out for week 9. You guys are now in position, something this organization has not been in forever. You have earned the right to try to do something special by the work you've turned in. So this is a reward for you. That's how I view it.
Yeah, the reward part maybe not as much for me, but I think the rest of it we're in lockstep. Like, I don't view it as dangling something out there. Like, you earned this as much as it is just an endorsement that this front office thinks they've got a really good chance, right? And it makes it pretty obvious if you're in that locker room that they think you can win something meaningful this year, that this isn't just about next year or the year after. Adam Peters was at the controls of this deadline. He talked earlier today about how it came about, said that he had various members of his staff working the phones for weeks, cited by name Lance Newmark as assistant GM, Martin Mayhew, a former GM, Scott Fitterer, a former GM, among others. He said that the R&D department was heavily involved, said a lot of times their work never sees the light of day. The scouting staff, obviously, studying, watching tape, grinding. But it ends up on his desk. It's on him to eventually make the call. Do I want to give up the picks or I don't? This is why he gets paid the big bucks. You're giving up the 3, the 4, and the 6. And I think it was an easy trade to make in the end. And he confirmed this today because they had the extra third-round pick. He basically all but said they would not have made this trade if they didn't have the extra third in the Dotson deal, which is a better third earlier in the third round that they didn't want to give up and they kept. And they'll use that one from the Eagles by way of Miami. But they gave up their own third rounder, which right now is like a fourth rounder. It's a super late third round pick. But if you want to do this math, and I hate doing this, I'll just tell you in advance because it's like the old school Ernie Grunfeld. Like, the player we signed is our draft pick.
We considered the person coming back our first round pick.
But in a sense, you kind of traded Jahan Dotson and John Ridgeway and a fourth round pick for Marshawn Lattimore. Now, that's not really one to one. That's not really what you did. But there's some funny math there that can allow you to say that that is kind of the foundation of the swap, and then you then agreed to a two-year, $36 million contract over the next 2 years with Lattimore, who, by the way, John Keim told us on the show yesterday, remember, from ESPN.com, without guaranteed money, that they can get out of that deal scot-free if it doesn't go well the rest of the season, which I would say is not the plan, because Peters made it pretty clear. They looked at free agency. They've already started looking into the draft, and they clearly evaluated that Lattimore at $18 million was a no-brainer based on what the market's going to look like at a position where they deem themselves pretty desperate.
Yeah, I think it's well said, right? This is a, you know, if again, I said this earlier doing our hit with Derek Forrest for DC News Now, and I said, to me, this is a, you don't do this if you're 4-5, 5-4, the usual, hey, this is a nice rookie season. Like, you're having Justin Herbert's rookie season, which was spectacular for a team that was just okay. Or 99% of the rookie seasons that have happened with good quarterbacks over the years. The exceptions, just so happens, have occurred in the last 2 years with C.J. Stroud and now Jaden Daniels, where it's a renaissance, where the team is a previous laughingstock, a joke, a punchline in the league. It's now the desired spot. It's now the cool place to be. It's now the spot where everyone goes to hang out, right? And when that has happened, you now have to go, I'm going to adjust my eye line. I'm going to change everything about the way I was evaluating, right? If they'd known that they would be this good, impossible to know, and I'm not criticizing at all, but if they'd known that it had been this good, they might have done things maybe just a smidge differently in free agency, right? Maybe just a smidge, maybe one extra player here or there, maybe one extra thing, you know, to this point to kind of reinforce. The fact is, everything that could have broken right almost to a man has, and it's been better than even anybody could have anticipated or expected. So now you have to go, we're not apologizing for being here. You know, the same way on a much better scale that Ron Rivera goes, well, we're better than we were supposed to be, than division stinks, it really does. Back in 2020, when 7-9 won the damn thing, you don't apologize for winning it. You go, well, here we are. What are we going to do about it? And it, you know, you spring a plan into action.
Yeah, I think that the plan that they had all along was, let's see what we are, right? Like, let's see where this goes. And when you talk about springing into action, I think we saw that with the trade, but I don't view it as the reversal of course that a lot of people do. Even this segment here, you could tweet us at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny, and there's this perception, it seems like, online where people say, I'm glad that they were able to basically go away from the long-term vision to get this done. I don't think they did. I think this is in lockstep what they've done since they walked through the door. They added young, controllable talent. He's only a year and change older than Benjamin St-Juste. I mean, it's not like they added some guy that's 34 years old who's a rental. Can we play clip number 12. I think this is actually interesting to this point. When asked if Adam Peters envisioned making a big trade like this at any point before the season started, this is what he said.
If we'd asked you September 1st, would you be likely to be adding a player or adding more picks at the deadline, what would you have thought?
I would have said we need to beat the Buccaneers. I think it goes back to if whether you're, you know, 9-0 or 0-9, you're always trying to do what's best for the team. And so if that adds up to adding a player that you can add that's really good, like Marshawn, then you always consider it. And then if it's also trading a player away, then you consider that too. So you take them as they come. And I don't necessarily look at it as being a buyer or a seller. I think just trying to do my best I can to help this team, you know, be as good as it can.
What do you think of that, Danny?
He'll never give away the full detail, right? You're never going to stand up there and say, yeah, I'm pretty stunned we're good. I never actually thought we would be. You know, I was just kind of saying, hey, let's build for the long term. And we're really, usually the first year of a regime, you're sort of just cleaning out the closet from the old owners of the house. You know, like, he's never going to stand up there and go, yeah, I thought we kind of suck. But admittedly, you prepare for all the scenarios, right? That's what you do when you're good at this.
But there's, you know, no way, right, that they thought they'd be 7-2.
Let's not
even say 7-2. That's obvious. There's just no – I think that they would have done a lot of things differently, or at least spoken differently maybe, if they thought they were going to be good right away. They didn't say rebuild. I give them that. This recalibrate, find north thing.
Mm-hmm.
But they had no idea, did they? This is a magical, everything comes together perfectly, pixie dust kind of situation happening.
Yeah, and that's what I'm talking about, more or less, right? It's the premise is we have prepared for every scenario, right? If, let's say for the sake of argument, their gamble, which is what it was, on Brandon Coleman as a third round left tackle slash guard in half the league's eyes, and Cornelius Lucas wasn't great. Let's say that, you know, I don't know, you could pick any of their million moves where you go, yeah, Zach Ertz is oft injured, and he played in week one, and that's about it. He's been on and off the injury report. And it's not going that awesome. And they're just okay. They're better than they were before, and we're just still so grateful it's not Dan Snyder, it's not Ron, and the Marty Party. You're not doing this, right? I think they're prepared for that. They had a quiet confidence about them, and I give them a huge amount of credit, right? They didn't do the offseason champ bit where, you know, everything is about the hail this, and we're going to the Super Bowl and telling fans what they want to hear, and then pulling the rug out from underneath them with bad play. They had a quiet confidence about them. They said, we're going to try to compete. Like, we're going to try. We think, like, their attitude was, we think we're going to be pretty good. And at the time, I didn't agree. I was wrong. They were right. Thank goodness. They're in charge and I'm not. But they didn't think they'd be this good. There's no way. No reasonable assessment would have said, yeah, this is who they are. Because this doesn't happen with a rookie quarterback and an offense that's a damn buzzsaw based on, ground and pound, and then guys schemed open at the Yang, and a rookie quarterback playing as good as anyone ever has in the history of the position as a rookie. He's at top of every damn ranking, every expected points added per play metric. You're looking down, you go, where is the Washington quarterback? Oh, he's at the damn top, the top of the NFL. He's in the elite group. He's already part of the company. That there's no precedent for that around here. And so, yeah, it's unreasonable. It's joyous. It's awesome. But there's no way a reasonable person would have expected that.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Let's open up the phones. 800-636-1067. How surprised do you think Peters and Quinn are with where they are right now? And do you perceive the trade of Lattimore as any type of departure from whatever plan they had been putting together this season? Because to me, it's pretty clearly just a continuation of what they've been doing, and you're just picking someone up and throwing them in the vehicle, and you're still driving down the same road. But it does seem like some people think this is a shift in philosophy to prioritizing right here and right now. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Danny is in studio over on Half Street in the Navy Yard, where we normally broadcast from. I am over at the Monumental Studios getting ready for an Altcast tonight. By the way, the Caps are wearing their Screaming Eagle black sweaters tonight. Now, Danny is not a uniform guy. I know.
Correct.
This. They're black jerseys. Can I at least get you to acknowledge that the Screaming Eagle cap sweater the black look that they throw back to from a previous era is fire. I mean, that is, to me, my one seed jersey in all of DC sports. The most recent purchase I've made was actually a black cap sweater. The last two purchases I think I've made are the Screaming Eagle black cap sweater. I love it. It's so good. Ovi called it. He loves it, by the way. The reason they're bringing it back, essentially, is for Ovi, because he was begging for it. He called it the best look in the NHL yesterday.
Really?
Yeah.
He did say that? Or are you making that up?
No. I'm not even doing a bit. Like, for his birthday, I think
that's
it was. What's that?
So that's a bummer. That's sad to me.
Why is that?
Because their regular jerseys are awesome, and they shouldn't be changed. This is the Jágr era, and they should all burn. We should never see these again.
Oh, come on.
No, you come on.
The logo, the Screaming Eagle is so good.
The Jágr time. It's just so much Jágr. Just so much playing well against us and not well for us. So much don't really care, and then goes on to like a decade or 25 years more of excellence. No way. That's all I can think about is him.
The only thing I remember for Jágr, I'm sure he was in the Screaming Eagle at some point too, is he had the Capitals, the Capitol building emblem. That was primarily his time. Was that Adam Oates like Capitol building logo with hockey sticks that was a little bit nubby?
Yeah, I'm not into that. But that's what I think. Whenever I see a jersey that's not white or red, I think of that. So you may be right that there was one of them had like the Capitol dome, another one was the Eagle on there.
Yeah.
It's all part of a dark time to me when like the Caps are red. I'm not trying to like rock the black jersey or whatever with different trimming and piping and nothing to do with red and white, which are their colors. Not into it. It's a no from me.
I think the Screaming Eagle, they might have even rocked during their cup run, if memory serves. But I mean, I don't know. It's part of my childhood nostalgia for sure. That's definitely, I think part of it is now there. It's been long enough to throw it back.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's a good look. I think it's fire. It's different. It's unique. And the black sweater, when they've been doing white and red for so many years, it's just a nice jolt for me. But I knew that I would either be met with hostility.
Mm-hmm.
Or
you got that hostility, I think.
General apathy about talking about a jersey. I knew one of those two was going to be the way you went.
Yeah, this one was the hostile one. Because again, I think you're probably right that I conflate the Eagle and the Capitol Dome ones.
But they're not similar.
Well, they're very similar. They're not red or white. So it's all from a time where they were like, these aren't our colors, and like let's incorporate this weird blue. Like right around the time
they were doing teal at one point. Like,
yeah.
Those are hurting.
Awful. So I associate anything that's not their colors with that time, and that's the time that made me most angry as a Caps fan, not even losing the 3-1 leads or whatever else. It was the dude that ruined everything for us as an opponent couldn't be bothered to try hard when he was here.
I'm looking up picks from their 98 Stanley Cup final against the Red Wings, and they are in the Screaming Eagle. Now, it's the teal joint, which I didn't love, and I know you didn't love,
mm-mm.
Although I still think it's a good look, but the going black with the Screaming Eagle. Let's go. I mean, it's just so good. It's great. Let's go to Manny in Southeast in D.C. on G&D. Manny, we've been talking about the Commanders, and we're trying to figure out if you think they went away from their earlier plan and got more aggressive, or are you like me and you think this works perfectly with their vision for the next few years?
I'm also, hey Grant, hey Dennis. Hey, we're always building with y'all about the Skin Manders. Listen, I think it's just adding extra to what they already envision. It's actually building on what they have in the future. If you think about them when they was in Dallas, they had two strong corners. Now they can take Marshawn Lattimore, put him on the island on any number one. They can put St. Juice, because Lattimore, St. Juice, and Sinistry, they was all practicing together, teaching yellow movies, learning from building from one another.
Why?
Learning and building from one another. So today in practice, so what that does is allow them to put another in the box. Now, if we allow another to go in the box and we can slow that run down and stop that run, we become more potent than we are now because our offense is going to be dogs anyway.
Well, so that's what we were talking about earlier today. I mean, the secondary upgrade is massive. What it does in the corner room to slot everybody down is obvious. But the other thing I wanted fixed yesterday, if they could pull it off somehow, is someone to help them stop the run better, and they might have gotten too birds with one stone. I mean, they might have really been able to handle that as well. If Lattimore's as good as we think he can be, if healthy, you know, maybe they can. load up the box, bring Jeremy Chinn down, and maybe not play as much too high. Let's go to Andre in Manassas. Dre, do you think this was part of the plan, or do you think they broke glass in case of emergency?
No, I mean, I think it was part of the plan. First and foremost, let me say I feel bad, so terribly bad for John Allen. I mean, this guy's given everything, and the 1 year that they're about to do something, he can't
true.
Go.
Yep.
I don't even know what it's like to be in the Allen household right now. But I got to say that I think, you know, the coaches, it may be a more of a surprise to us as fans because, you know, we've been dealing with this for like 30 years. But all these gentlemen, you know, the shot callers, they've been successful for the most part everywhere they went. So, you know, they're probably not surprised. Having said all this, I think perhaps a paradigm shift in terms of how people select quarterbacks. I mean, you know, I know everyone's calling Jaden a rookie. He's a rookie, this rookie, that. But then you realize this guy played, you know, 4 years of college ball. Not too many people do that this day and age. You know, all this technology, virtual reality, you know, this guy's probably taken 1,000 snaps on virtual reality alone. And, you know, you have all these simulators, pilots, you know, race car drivers, all these things. And, you know, I think the technology has really helped them. So I know it's, you know, obviously the cool thing to say, you know, rookie quarterback has never done this and never done that. But he's not an ordinary rookie quarterback. And I think, you know, as they draft quarterbacks moving forward, you're probably going to see more, you know, 4 or 5 year, you know, starters get in the nod as opposed to, you know, this guy has all the talent. He's only played like 6 games.
Thank it's you, Trent. Yeah, appreciate that. I mean, we don't have another word for it because it's his first year in the NFL, so we're calling him a rookie. But I think that point's well seen, right? The experience he had as a, you know, skinny freshman in Arizona State, and you know, the upward climb that he's made, talking about Daniels into a, you know, from a mid round prospect to the second overall pick, Heisman Trophy winner, et cetera. The growth has been obvious, and that experience I think served him very well as he set foot on campus here and has hit the ground running. But yeah, I mean, to me, I don't think they. I think your point is really good, GP, and I'll say this real quick. I don't think they violated their rules or their paradigms by making this move. In other words, like, doesn't mean they're not prioritizing the draft anymore. Doesn't mean they're not heavily involved in scouting and finding the right kind of player, and they still want to major in building through the draft and being young. I don't think they changed anything in that regard. They didn't say, screw it. They didn't go full Les Snead. They didn't go full Rams, right, where it's a first-rounder for this guy, a future first-rounder for that guy, second-rounder here, there, and everywhere. They still got a decent allotment of picks, and I think they'll be adding more as we proceed.
For sure. Yeah, I just think that their plan has been, let's add talent to this organization that can help us over the next 3 years. And they did that with Lattimore. They have 3 postseasons, if they choose to, with him. That's part of the plan. He got better at a position where he had a huge need. We were upset a few months ago they didn't sign a corner. They just signed a corner. They just went out, and they got the corner one that you were hoping they were going to get this offseason. And Lattimore's better than the guys that were available that they could have signed at that time. So it's a net victory as far as I'm concerned, and it's not a mortgage in any way of the future. As Peter said today, the points for their draft picks that they have are better right now. They have more draft value in terms of the picks that they have today than they had this summer, based mostly on that Jahan Dotson deal and how high up that pick is because the Dolphins have been really, really bad. So keep rooting for Miami to stink up the joint. Peters wasn't the only person to talk today. Who Matters out in Ashburn, Dan Quinn spoke as well. You want to hear from him, we've got that for you next. Plus, our Caps Power Play will give you a preview of the Caps and the Preds. G&D on the Fan.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free health care. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.